The Audiobook Wizard presents Illustrated Audiobooks, wonderful children's illustrated books brought to audio life by including rich audio description of the pictures for children who are blind, low vision, and all children. This time, Winnie the Pooh, Chapter 4. We are honored to continue the accessible story of Winnie the Pooh, the original 1926 book by A.A. Milne. And here is Chapter 4. Chapter 4, in which Eeyore loses a tail and Pooh finds one. The old gray donkey, Eeyore, stood by himself in a thistly corner of the forest, his front feet well apart, his head on one side, and thought about things.
On a grassy hill, Eeyore stands beside a tree, his head hanging down to the ground, his nose and long ears touching the grass. He has a shaggy black mane.
Sometimes he thought sadly to himself,
"Why?"
And sometimes he thought,
"Wherefore?"
And sometimes he thought,
"Inasmuch as which?"
And sometimes he didn't quite know what he was thinking about. So when Winnie the Pooh came stumping along, Eeyore was very glad to be able to stop thinking for a little, in order to say,
"How do you do?"
in a gloomy manner to him.
"And how are you?"
Eeyore shook his head from side to side.
"Not very how. I don't seem to have felt at all how for a long time."
"Dear, dear, I'm sorry about that. Let's have a look at you."
So Eeyore stood there, gazing sadly at the ground, and when Winnie the Pooh walked all around him once,
Winnie the Pooh stands behind Eeyore, staring at him.
"Why, what's happened to your tail?"
he said in surprise.
"What has happened to it?"
"It isn't there."
"Are you sure?"
"Well, either a tail is there or it isn't there. You can't make a mistake about it, and yours isn't there."
"Then what is?"
"Nothing."
"Let's have a look,"
said Eeyore, and he turned slowly round to the place where his tail had been a little while ago. And then, finding that he couldn't catch it up, he turned round the other way until he came back to where he was at first. And then he put his head down and looked between his front legs. And at last he said, with a long, sad sigh,
"I believe you're right."
"Of course I'm right."
"That accounts for a good deal,"
said Eeyore gloomily.
"It explains everything. No wonder."
"You must have left it somewhere."
Eeyore curls his neck straight down beneath his body, the top of his head touching the grass between his front legs, and his nose pointed toward his feet in a sort of headstand.
"Somebody must have taken it. How like them?"
he added, after a long silence. Pooh felt that he ought to say something helpful about it, but didn't quite know what. So he decided to do something helpful instead.
"Eeyore,"
he said solemnly,
"I, Winnie the Pooh, will find your tail for you."
"Thank you, Pooh. You're a real friend. Not like some."
So Winnie the Pooh went off to find Eeyore's tail. It was a fine spring morning in the forest as he started out. Little soft clouds played happily in a blue sky, skipping from time to time in front of the sun as if they had come to put it out, and then sliding away suddenly so that the next might have his turn. Through them and between them the sun shone bravely, and a copse, a thicket of small trees, which had worn its firs all the year round, seemed old and dowdy now beside the new green lace which the beeches had put on so prettily. Through copse and spinney marched Bear, down open slopes of gorse and heather, over rocky beds of streams, up steep banks of sandstone into the heather again, and so, at last, tired and hungry, to the 100-acre wood. For it was in the 100-acre wood that Owl lived.
"And if anyone knows anything about anything,"
said Bear to himself,
"it's Owl who knows something about something. Well, my name's not Winnie the Pooh, which it is. So there you are."
Owl lived at the Chestnuts, an old-world residence of great charm, which was grander than anybody else's, or seemed so to Bear, because it had both a knocker and a bell pull. Underneath the knocker there was a notice which said, not spelled particularly well, "Please ring if an answer is required." Underneath the bell pull there was a notice which said, also not spelled very well, "Please knock if an answer is not required." These notices had been written by Christopher Robin, who was the only one in the forest who could spell, or so he thought, for Owl, wise though he was in many ways, able to read and write and spell his own name, W-O-L, yet somehow went all to pieces over delicate words like measles and buttered toast.
In a forest clearing, Winnie the Pooh stands above the forest floor on a thick tree branch, gazing at a red door nestled among five other branches. Beneath the door knocker is a handwritten sign, and a gray bell pull hangs from an overhead branch, which also has a sign on it.
Winnie the Pooh read the two notices very carefully, first from left to right, and afterwards, in case he had missed some of it, from right to left. Then, to make quite sure, he knocked and pulled the knocker, and he pulled and knocked the bell rope, and he called out in a very loud voice,
"Owl, I require an answer. It's Bear speaking."
And the door opened, and Owl looked out.
"Hello, Pooh. How's things?"
"Terrible and sad, because Eeyore, who is a friend of mine, has lost his tail, and he's moping about it, so could you very kindly tell me how to find it for him?"
"Well, the customary procedure in such cases is as follows."
"What does crustamony proceed cake mean? For I am a bear of very little brain, and long words bother me."
"It means the thing to do."
"As long as it means that, I don't mind,"
said Pooh humbly.
"The thing to do is as follows. First, issue a reward. Then..."
"Just a moment,"
said Pooh, holding up his paw.
"What do we do this... What were you saying? You sneezed, just as you were going to tell me."
"I didn't sneeze."
"Yes, you did, Owl."
"Excuse me, Pooh, I didn't. You can't sneeze without knowing it."
"Well, you can't know it without something having been sneezed."
"What I said was, first issue a reward."
"You're doing it again,"
said Pooh sadly.
"A reward,"
said Owl very loudly.
"We write a notice that will give a large something to anybody who finds Eeyore's tear."
I see,
said Pooh, nodding his head.
"Talking about large somethings,"
he went on dreamily,
"I generally have a small something about now, about this time in the morning."
And he looked wistfully at the cupboard in the corner of Owl's parlor.
"Just a mouthful of condensed milk or whatnot, with perhaps a lick of honey."
"Well, then, we write out this notice, and we put it up all over the forest."
"A lick of honey,"
murmured Bear to himself.
"Oh, not as the case may be."
And he gave a deep sigh and tried very hard to listen to what Owl was saying.
Beside a fireplace framed by decorative wallpaper and a mantel clock, Owl stands upright on a wooden chair, looking at Pooh with his yellow eyes. Across from Owl, Pooh sits in a soft pink chair, hunched forward with his head drooping down.
But Owl went on and on, using longer and longer words, until at last he came back to where he started, and he explained that the person to write out this notice was Christopher Robin.
"It was he who wrote the ones on my front door for me. Did you see them, Pooh?
For some time now, Pooh had been saying yes and no in turn, with his eyes shut, to all that Owl was saying, and having said,
Yes, yes.
Last time, he said,
No, not at all.
Now, without really knowing what Owl was talking about.
Didn't you see them?
Said Owl, a little surprised.
Come, and look at them now.
So they went outside, and Pooh looked at the knocker and the notice below it, and he looked at the bell rope and the notice below it, and the more he looked at the bell rope, the more he felt that he had seen something like it somewhere else, sometime before.
Handsome bell rope, isn't it?
Pooh nodded.
It reminds me of something, but I can't think what. Where did you get it?
I just came across it in the forest. It was hanging over a bush, and I thought, at first, somebody lived there. So I rang it, and nothing happened. And then I rang it again, very loudly, and it came off in my hand. And as nobody seemed to want it, I took it home and—
Owl,
said Pooh solemnly.
You made a mistake. Somebody did want it.
Who?
Eeyore. My dear friend Eeyore. He was fond of it.
Fond of it?
Attached to it,
said Winnie the Pooh sadly.
In the doorway of his treehouse, Owl and Pooh regard Owl's bell pole, a longish gray strip of fabric with a tuft of short black hairs splayed out at the end.
So with these words, he unhooked it and carried it back to Eeyore.
Eeyore sits on the grass, smiling over his shoulder at his tail, as Christopher Robin hammers it back on. Smiling, Winnie the Pooh leans down and watches, paws on his knees.
And when Christopher Robin had nailed it on in its right place again, Eeyore frisked about the forest, waving his tail so happily that Winnie the Pooh came over all funny and had to hurry home for a little snack of something to sustain him. And wiping his mouth half an hour afterwards, he sang to himself proudly,
Aye, at 2:45.
Only it was 10:45, really.
I found the tail.
This has been Winnie the Pooh, Chapter 4, written by A.A. Milne. Narrated by Richard Riemann. Featuring the voices of Johnny Heller as Winnie the Pooh, Mike Lenz as Eeyore, and Roy Samuelson as Owl. Audio description narrated by Satana Howry. Audio description written by Audio Description Associates, LLC, Alisa Jansen and Joel Snyder, PhD, with additional description by Bonnie Barlow. From the original color illustrations by E.H. Shepherd. This has been a production of Imagination Video Books at imaginationvideobooks.org.
Please join us again for our next illustrated audiobook with audio description of the pictures. Brought to you by ImaginationStorybooks.org. I'm Richard Riemann, the Audiobook Wizard.